Welcome to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. We got a great episode in store and an interview coming up with Ryan Dement. I've been on his podcast before, but now it's his turn to be on this podcast. And he has some great thoughts to share about today's episode. Is happiness more than money? We're going to cover some great questions. We're going to cover some things like what makes up happiness? Is it possible to have a ton of money and still be unhappy? How do you build a good financial foundation? How are some ways to prioritize happiness and money? What are some financial habits that are essential to finding happiness with money? And then the great old question, can money buy happiness? So make sure you stay tuned for today's entire episode. It's a really good one. But the money talking points for today's episode are, what steps can I take today to help build or shore up my financial foundation? And two, what could I do to improve my happiness without money? With all that in mind, let's get right into today's episode. You know, we don't talk about money enough. It's a topic that gets ignored for some reason, even though it plays a role in everyone's day-to-day life. Well, this issue is what brought Money Talk with Skylar Fleming to reality. I know you're probably busy and don't have time to research and learn about all the things that go into personal finance, but that's where this podcast comes into play. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming, and I'm here to do the research and learn all the extra stuff about personal finance for you. The goal is to simply get us talking about money. So let's get talking. Welcome, Ryan Dement, to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I know I've been on your podcast once before, so it's awesome to have you here joining me. Ryan, would you go ahead and introduce yourself for everyone else?
Ryan Dement, small business owner, entrepreneur. I'm in the real estate space, affordable housing / sustainable housing. Run two podcasts, Chasing Happiness, Chasing Financial Freedom. And I'm on a mission to be able to impact 100,000 people through our recently formed nonprofit True Community.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. I hadn't heard about that. That's super cool.
This is brand new. Just got it approved. So you're hearing it fresh off the press.
Oh, that's awesome. Cool. We'll make sure we'll keep that in mind at the end and direct people towards it so that you can reach that goal. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's exciting though. But today our conversation, the episode's titled Happiness is More Than Money. So we're going to be talking about that good old balance between happiness and money. We're going to dive right into it with Ryan. What do you think makes up happiness, and does money play a part in that at all?
Happiness is what you create internally. And we're in an age of technology. Don't get me wrong. I love technology, but it's created a situation in life to where we actually are looking for instant gratification, and life is a marathon and you have to battle through and get to the other side. The only way to be happy is you got to be going after things that you want to do. Or as a mentor tells me, go find something that you are willing to do for free and then monetize it. And I don't think a lot of people take that time to find that. Is money part of happiness? When you're not financially stressed and you have money in the bank and you're going after your financial purpose, it ties together. But if you're only focused on the money, there's no way that you can be happy.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. That's awesome. Yeah, if you're only focused on the money, it's not going to lead to happiness. But like it definitely plays a part. Like it's not something to completely ignore when it comes to becoming happy. So yeah, we're off to a great start here. Love that. Love that description of happiness there. It's internal. And I especially like the technology factor on it. I think it gets seen a lot. I've deleted like social media and everything from my devices, so I'm not seeing that stuff immediately. But like, how do you think people can combat that? Maybe if they're facing that instant gratification pull.
Stop chasing the Joneses. You got to get rid of that mentality that you have to go buy something and it's all about the almighty dollar. You have to find what's inside and actually work on that passion, that happiness. But it's easier said than done, because you're trying to keep up with everyone else. When you start tuning out the noise, positive and negative, you're able to be able to do that, but you have to put the time and effort in. And I say this, and not everybody, I say it out loud. We give social media so much credence and a lot of it is fake, and you have to be able to tune it out and find your happiness and go after it. And I think a good person that talks about that all the time is Gary Vee. Tune out the noise, stop worrying about everybody else and worry about yourself.
Yeah. You just got to find what you want to do, honestly. And like you said, tune it out, delete it, positive and negative, because the positive is just going to make you want to do whatever they're doing, the negative's just going to make you feel bad. So like, identify what you want and go after that. But one of the things you mentioned, like if money's your only focus, that can lead to unhappiness, or maybe you really don't know what you're striving for. But is it possible to have lots of money? So let's say you worked really hard and you have a lot of money. Is it possible to have lots of money and still be unhappy?
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, I saw a study several months back that talked about attorneys, doctors, and I want to say CPAs. There was a third group of people that were the most unhappiest that had the most wealth. And because they're chasing the money, they're working a million hours a week, and they have, and when I say balance, Grant Cardone's book, 10X, I love that book. I've probably read it 5 or 6 times. He talks about always being present in whatever you're doing, whether it be family, work, you know, helping others, whatever the case is. But you can't just rely on the money. You have to be able to be present and take care of the things that are going to take care of you. And that's your family and your job. But when it's all rooted in money, there's tons of people out there that have a lot of money and they have really no inner happiness. They're completely miserable. They're by themselves and they have nowhere to go.
Yeah,
they're trapped.
Would you think that maybe stems back to the first question too, where they're chasing something? Like they're not going after the happiness factor. They're chasing what everyone else has on social media, or chasing just that dollar, like you mentioned.
Yeah. But it also, you know, if you look at a doctor, an attorney, they're chasing after becoming a partner or a name partner as an attorney or a doctor, to where you can be head of a medical group or something to that extent. So it's always trying to keep up with somebody else. And that's just a vicious cycle. Not saying we don't want to have doctors and attorneys that are aggressive and want to accomplish things. But there's also a point in time where you can't just chase the almighty dollar, and you have to have purpose for it. I mean, I've gone through that path in life when I was in corporate America, but I learned very quickly to humble yourself and be of a servant to, or serve others and help them. And that old adage is help others and it comes back to you in spades is big. I mean, it's true. You just have to practice it and believe it. And it truly does.
Yeah. And in terms of like going for that highest rank, like there's always going to be a rank higher than that. So you got to, like, if you are someone who's pursuing that, like a doctor or an attorney or a financial partner, whatever the term might be, like if you're pursuing that, like identify your goal. Don't just say you're just working up the ladder, because that ladder is going to always, there's always going to be another rung to go up. So like identify your goals, I think, is a good helpful step.
Yeah, it's an elusive goal. And I had that same problem in corporate America. I grew from, you know, just being an entry level manager all the way up to a, you know, a name suite, C-suite, you know, person, to where I was an owner of the company, an officer of a company. And I just kept on going. And I got to the point where I really didn't care. All I wanted was more and more money. And it just mm-hmm. didn't work.
Yeah, you hit that point where just there's not much else to do, I would almost say. And that's where I think the happiness can start to break down. Like you could have happiness in that progress. Like you have that goal set for yourself and it's happiness on that journey. But once you get there, like if you don't know that's the end or like where you're going, then that can be really difficult. But
for sure,
speaking in terms of finances with happiness, what if you don't have a good financial foundation? Does that make it harder to be happy?
It does, because you're going to struggle with money and you're going to struggle with your finances. And I think we talked about this on my podcast about how public schools and schooling have left us behind when it comes to finances and being able to understand them, just the basics. You know, in my real estate business, we have first time home buyers that have no clue about credit and they wonder why their credit's so horrible. And that's sad. And if you can't have a deeper level of thought in education on finances, how are you going to succeed in life and how are you going to be happy? Because you're always going to be stressed about money. You're going to always be behind on that eight ball.
Yeah, that financial stress that comes from just not having that simple foundation is monumental. Like that's something that's going to slow everybody down. It's going to ultimately lead to an unhappier life, I would say, because you don't have that like sure foundation of what you're going to go back to. But what are some simple things that what's some simple steps people can take to help reduce their money stress, maybe to help build that financial foundation and improve their money's impact on their happiness?
I would say become financially literate. And that comes with reading and educating yourself, spending time and putting effort into your financial literacy. Just like anything else you do in life, it's a muscle. If you flex it more and you work it out, you'll become better and stronger at it. So, I mean, my big thing is reading. I think it's Warren Buffett that said this. Don't quote me, that if you read 20 pages a day, you're going to read approximately 24 books a year. The average American today reads less than 60 pages in a year. So if you can find a way to sit down and hold yourself accountable to read and educate yourself on certain things that you want to get better at, like financial literacy, that's a starting point. And that will help your happiness, because you're going to put more time and effort into it, and you're going to get better at it, and you're going to get yourself. And we talked about this on my podcast. I remember that is debt. A lot of these people are in debt and they have no way to get out of it. So they file bankruptcy. Yeah. And it's problems. It just causes more and more problems and snowballs.
Yeah. And one thought that came to my mind as you were talking about the whole reading thing is maybe just go out there and identify some of those averages and then just try just to beat that by a little bit would be my thought. Like just start working towards just being on that other side of the average, like that maybe there's a certain average savings rate for Americans. Try to beat that just barely. Because if you can be just above average, then you're going to start building momentum and you're going to start building that snowball, but in the right way for you.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you got to start somewhere, and it's baby steps to start the process. It's, as I say, is getting off the couch and stop eating your bonbons and going for it. I mean, you can't change unless you put the effort in. And one of the guests that came on my show a while back, he's a triathlete. And before he would even get to the race and start, he would go to the finish line, envision him finishing the race every single time. That's what we should start doing for ourselves, is envision what we want to accomplish and then start using that as motivation on a daily basis.
Yeah, there's a good TED video, like one of their animated videos that talks about that idea of imagining your success. And it details this study about like basketball players where one group practice free throws and one imagined them making the free throws. And I can't remember the exact numbers, obviously, but it was impressively close. Just from imagining it versus actually doing it. So like maybe that's a great place to start, is just thinking through what you want it to look like. And then you can identify those steps to get there.
For sure.
Awesome. Well, what's a good way for you that you prioritize happiness and money?
Every single day I wake up with gratitude. I thank, you know, universe, God, however you want to look at it. I'm alive. I've got a roof over my head and my bills get paid. Food on the table, clothes on my back, and everything else is a bonus. Happy and in a healthy family. And then from there, it's just the gratitude piece of being happy and grateful for what I have. And that attracts more positive things to happen on a daily basis. It really just sets my day up for starting out right. Especially, I work off of East Coast time. I'm in Phoenix. I typically start by 4:30, 5 o'clock my time. So, I mean, I'm tired and it's like, I got to be positive, but that relates just to life. I mean, if you want to talk about finances and happiness, being positive and trying to find ways to be financially literate and putting that time and effort into yourself will actually make that difference. And then it starts coming out, and then it starts momentum, just like the snowball effect, or however you want to talk about, you know, paying off finances. When you start getting in there and start doing that, it changes your finances, but it also changes who you are internally, because now you've got this momentum going and it's positivity. And oh, by the way, I'm getting into a better place financially, which takes a huge amount of stress off your back.
Yeah. I think in terms of that gratitude and positivity, like if you're in a space where like happiness isn't a thing for you because you're so financially stressed, I think just identifying those things, like you said, roof over your head, healthy family, happy family, we have food to eat. And if, I mean, there's obviously situations where those things can be difficult, and that's its own that's its own hard conversation. But like, if you're in a place where like you have those basic needs met, like you said, everything else is a bonus. So like find those moments of happiness, I think, and that's how you can get that ball rolling in the right direction instead of just harping on the negative, which I think that's an excellent place to start. And I like what you said, start your day with gratitude, start out positive. Are there other habits that you think, or other financial habits that are essential to finding happiness with money?
It's a balancing act. And I think until you actually go through financial hardship, you don't realize what you can and can't live without. Breaking down necessities versus wants is huge. a lot of us think that we have to have a brand new car that's got a $500 a month car payment. We have to have, you know, the shiny clothes and the new watches, you know, the Rolexes or Omegas or whatever. Those are all bonuses in my mind. Those are all things that if I can afford them, pay cash for them, I would. But that's where I think the difference between chasing the Joneses that are broke and then just being me, really separates my thought process, because going from corporate America to being an entrepreneur was humbling. Two failed businesses, $100,000 in debt. It's a lot. And I had to reevaluate who I was, where I wanted to go financially, personally, spiritually, whatever you want to talk about. And then, oh, by the way, I got to learn how to pay the bills.
Yeah.
And that really humbled me.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, identifying those needs and wants, that's something we can talk about from a financial perspective. But when you're actually going through it, then you're actually able to identify that bare bone budget. Like, what does that actually look like? So I think that's a good habit to give it a try, but just know that, like, there's going to be things that even when, like, if you're making it that list, when you're in a good place, when you do get to that place where it's financial hardship, I think there's even things that are going to come off that need list that you didn't realize. So I think that's a good habit, because then you can identify those things that you don't really need and say, hey, is this actually bringing me happiness, or why am I buying this? Like, why do I have this massive subscription to a gym when I can get a cheaper one just down the road? Like, those sort of things. So I think that's a good exercise. I really like it. And then,
yeah, it's the other thing just to, you know, throw on there is until you actually start protecting your four walls and making sure that your bills are paid, you know, the roof over your head, food on the table, clothes on your back, gas in the gas tank so you can actually get to work. Everything else you have to look at. And I know that's a Dave Ramsey thing, but it's true. I mean, until you get those four walls taken care of, you can't do anything else. And going out spending on those nice to haves doesn't work.
Yeah. And if you're at that point where money is just bringing you like pure unhappiness, I think those are the things you got to look at and be like, am I just spending too much? Do I actually have more money than I need, but just it's going all out all the doors instead of those four walls, like you mentioned. So awesome.
Yep.
The last question is the one that challenges everybody. Can money buy happiness? What are your thoughts on that topic?
No. Money is a infinite resource. Time is not. And that's where we get it backwards. And I struggled with it for many years in my life. Time is the most valuable asset we have because we can never get it back. Money, you can lose it. You can re-earn it. You can file bankruptcy. Whatever you want to do, you can always get it back. There's always money being printed out in the universe. You just have to go find it and make sure that you're balancing that out with your happiness.
Awesome. I love that answer. I like that. Time is greater than money is what I think my big takeaway is going to be from that last answer. I appreciate it. Ryan, this is a good conversation about happiness and money. Do you have anything else to add? And of course, how can everyone find you and let everyone know about all that you're doing?
Best place to find me is at trutalk.co. So trutalk.co is the best place. And you can email me, connect on the website there. I'm all over social media, so they can go there and they can enjoy podcasts and also see all the other stuff I'm doing there too.
Perfect. And I'll, of course, links in the show notes. I'll link the podcast episode that we had on your show, which was probably a few months ago, at least. I can't remember when it was. It was been a while.
It was last year.
Oh man, time flies. So awesome. Yeah. Well, it was fun to reconnect. I appreciate you coming on and sharing your thoughts about happiness and money.
Cool. Thank you very much.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I thought it was great. One of my key takeaways was the whole thing about being a little bit better than average. Go identify those things that you want to do better at, go find those averages, and then do a little bit better than that. And then start to build that momentum and progress towards your goals. And if you want to connect with Ryan, of course, all his information is in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If it helped you, share it with a friend, and of course, go and have a money talk. This podcast is growing a ton and it just keeps growing. So please make sure to connect with me on social media or, of course, share the podcast. We're growing towards 2,000 listens, which is great. And we're getting there faster and faster. So I appreciate each one of you for listening. Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk. The Money Talk show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and should not be used for personal or specific financial advice. Every situation is unique and different. please make sure to do your own research for your personal financial situation.